Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Morning sports news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome back to the Kia Studios on this Friday. Hope you're having a safe drive in. Weekend upon us. You should know that the weather guy, Bo Morgan, is out there looking at his Euro models, saying it's going to be a flood this weekend.
It'll be a lot of rain. Be careful on the road.
Yeah, be careful on the roads.
He's just looking at an app, a weather app, telling us the weather by Euro model. That's what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. That's what he does, though.
We all have weather apps, John.
Wendy, you really shouldn't speak on things you don't know about.
It's going to be 59 degrees. It's a high in my area today, which means I can't go running because it needs to be 60 or above.
And it's 59.
It's going to be 59.
So 1 degree.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
1 degree.
That's what I know. Randy and I just look at each other going, okay.
I need to see the sticks.
All right.
Just wear an extra layer of clothing, then you'll get to 60.
The Olympic opening ceremonies, by the way, are taking place as we speak in Pyeongchang, South Korea. They are going on. They look from the pictures that we're seeing like it's quite a spectacle.
It's amazing.
And, of course, they are being taped for primetime distribution across America. And I know what I'm doing on Friday night, Randy McMichael. I know exactly where I'm going to be at 8 o'clock this evening because the real estate maven ain't about to miss the opening ceremonies.
Oh, no.
Da, 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 da. Who doesn't love this
song? I love
Sing
this
it,
song.
John.
Love it.
It's, yeah, I don't think it has words.
But you were getting ready to try, too.
I'm going to give it a shot.
It's okay, John. You can Mad Lib if you want. We should do a Mad Lib Olympic version.
We should.
Just write it out. John, give me an adjective. Give me an adjective, Randy.
Give me
an adjective. Right. We're doing Mad Libs with the Olympic theme song.
It's like singing the Star Wars theme. With
you just don't go to you. Just can't do it, but you think you can.
You think you can. Make up words as we go along.
Okay.
Oh, that was funny.
We're running. I want to know. You haters out there, and stop, okay? We're running a Vision Computer poll this morning about the Winter Olympics.
And it's on our 92.9 The Game Twitter page and Facebook page. What event is your favorite to watch out of the Winter Olympic events? Because you know you're going to watch. Is it hockey? Is it figure skating or speed skating? Skiing, snowboarding? Or bobsled and luge? And right now, 39% of people say skiing and snowboarding is their favorite. It's followed by bobsled at 28%, 22% say hockey, 11% at figure and speed skating, but a lot of votes for curling.
There it is. I'm telling you. I mean, I don't know why that I would. Maybe because one day it was on TV and I just sat there and looked at it. You know, I was flipping around like, let me sit here and watch this right
here. You want to know why, Randy? It's because it's one of those events that we think we all can do, you know, when we've had like a red solo cup in our hand. It's like one of those type of games, so it's a relatable game.
Why does this part of the music sound like the end of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
It does sound like that. But and then I got a friend here, Ryan Hanlon, just invited me to come up to Marietta. They said they'll teach me how to curl.
Do you want to be the person who throws the stones or the person with the broom?
That broom, like, it's a lot of work. So I'll be the guy that pushes it out there.
So you're going to go do this?
Yeah.
You got to line it up.
Yeah, I mean, I can do all that, but the whole brushing thing, that'll like that take too much out of you there.
Can you bowl?
Huh?
Can you bowl?
Yeah.
Is that what's called bowling the curl, the stone?
Well, you've got to keep the curl. You got to keep it straight, or you have to knock the other person's.
I know the concept. I just didn't know what it was called.
I don't hear the concept. It just looks cool to me.
So, yeah, hockey's interesting this year, you know, and being a hockey fan, because the NHL is not playing, because the NHL said, no, we're not going to do it. So the men's U.S. Olympic hockey team this year, a bunch of college guys, just sort of like, if you've never seen Miracle, and you just saw Miracle.
Yeah, just watch it last month.
Miracle
is
a great movie. I don't know how Kurt Russell didn't win Best Actor for his portrayal of Herb Brooks. I mean, it's a very moving film. And so you got that with women's hockey. And by the way, women's hockey has something interesting, too. There's a rule difference in women's hockey in the Olympics that you'll notice from men's hockey. There's no checking allowed in women's hockey. In other words, it's like watching a Maple Leafs game.
There's no checking, really?
No checking.
I just got what you said.
So there's no checking allowed, okay? Yeah, no checking in women. You can't check anybody into the boards. There's no, so they just kind of all skate around. And
with a, you know, with a stick.
They're all Gretzky. Nobody checks anything, you know, right? Yeah.
Safety first, John.
I guess so, right? Then skiing and snowboarding. I mean, you have big stars. Shaun White's going to be there, and Lindsey Vonn's going to be there. This Jonathan Chen, who fell last night, but is supposedly going to be a big star in men's figure skating. So it'll be a lot of fun. There'll be great stories to develop out of the Olympics. You can bet on that. There's other big headlines this morning. The headlines brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Company. Shane Co. is your friend in the jewelry business. You know what next Tuesday is? Okay, just saying.
I mean, Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, John.
Oh, sorry, next Wednesday, pardon me.
Come on, John.
But whatever. I've already done. See, that's the great thing.
John.
I'm already done.
All right.
Yeah, you know, if you've been listening to our commercials, I've been telling you to get done. I'm done. I'm taken care of.
Just leave it there. You're going to leave it at the commercial.
That's what you did for.
Oh, no, I did something else.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's what we were getting at right there. You can't get away just with that, John.
You can't just get it done.
I'm not going to say nothing on the air if that's what you tried to get me to.
Yeah, you see, I was trying to.
The NBA, huge headlines. Let's start with LeBron James in town tonight after the Hawks of last night, right? So let's begin. Let's just get through this chronologically. Last night, Hawks in Orlando, they had a chance. But they were just a little bit short.
5 seconds to go. Dennis goes in the middle. Dwayne Dedman, left side, Torrey Prince. Fakes, shoots the three, and he makes it at the buzzer. But the Hawks will fall short by 2 points.
Yeah, they did. 100-98. They lose to the Orlando Magic on the road last night. So a back-to-back. They come home tonight. So what is the takeaway for Torrey and Prince and the Hawks of that Magic game as they get ready to host the Cavaliers?
I think no matter how much you lose by, no matter what the outcome of the game is, you can always take something good from it and be able to build from it. We got a quick one. We're going to come back tomorrow morning, obviously, and watch a little film and try to put together a game plan for the new faces.
Yeah, I would think that's taking place right about now because all those new faces he's talking about. Here come the Cleveland Cavaliers. What a day yesterday.
Yeah.
We began the day yesterday. Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade, Channing Frye, Imam Schumpert, Jay Crowder, and Derrick Rose were all on the Cleveland Cavaliers. We wake up this morning and none of them are. Instead, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., Rodney Hood, and George Hill are. It is a wholesale change in Cleveland.
I like it. And more than anything, John, it's the reset. I mean, usually this late in the season, you don't want to say reset the season or the team, but that's what Cleveland needed. It was a lot of poison going on in there. Guys weren't playing hard for each other. So I think this will be a great thing for this team. I just do.
I do, too. Not only does it shred you because they all talked about the Cavs' problems this year. You know, their defense is awful, et cetera.
Which it is.
Which it was, and maybe far better. But it was really the chemistry of the team was just bad, 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 bad. And firing Tyronn Lue wasn't going to change that. I mean, if you wanted to blame, any of the previous coaches that LeBron worked with in Cleveland, Mike Brown or whomever, and say, that your fault that this team isn't any good. It wasn't Tyronn Lue's fault. It was just the mix was bad. And so a couple of things are true. One is you're going to have all these new guys come in, and they're going to have to pick up the pieces, almost like starting the season over for them. And if it works, they're going to be really good. Not the least of which to remember, Kevin Love still isn't back yet.
Yeah, he's about a month away from coming back from that hand injury. I just think that these guys know their role. First of all, they're younger. They're a little bit more athletic on the wing now with Hood and Nance Jr. I think that was the biggest thing, John, is getting younger. In getting guys who just know their role. They know what they're there for. There's not really an agenda. Somebody trying to get paid. I'm going to take all the shots. I'm going to get mine no matter what happens with the team. I think these guys will buy into it.
The other thing, of course, Isaiah Thomas. Much discussed the trade of Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas, taking Isaiah Thomas from Boston, who was damaged goods. Cleveland tried to back out of it, and then they ended up taking him. It never worked out in Cleveland. It was a bad fit, a bad mix, and it was just bad from the jump. And so Isaiah Thomas gets traded to the L.A. Lakers, and this is how Magic Johnson talked about that.
We go up and down, and I think that that's where he excels. Also, too, I think our pick and roll play will be outstanding for him, especially with Brook Lopez, because he can step back and shoot. It's almost like him and Horford were when they were in Boston.
Well, the Lakers have been playing good basketball one again last night. I think they've won 12 of their last 16, if I'm not mistaken. As for Isaiah Thomas, well, guess what? He got dealt again.
I'm tired of being traded. I mean, that's not a good thing, but I just want to be where I'm wanted. And I like it here. I mean, it hasn't been as planned, but I definitely want to be here. We have a real chance to win the NBA championship, and I want to be a part of that.
Well, guess what? That's not what happened. That was before the trade was announced, and he got dealt.
Yeah, he got dealt. He's a West Coast guy. He's, I think, from Seattle. So being back in L.A., that's not that far from up there. It just was a never – you said it. It just never fit. You remember when the trade first happened, you know, they were saying it was going to be voided because of his hip and everything. And whoever – I mean – and Dan Gilbert, they let the trade go through. We talked about this earlier, John. Kyrie, you suck it up. All right, I'm not trading a point guard that's in his prime like you for Isaiah Thomas and Crowder. I know what they ultimately want. They wanted that pick. They wanted the Brooklyn pick just in case LeBron leaves. We got all that. But I'm not trading Kyrie for you. I mean, it just didn't – you didn't get equal – well, you'll never get equal value for a player that great, but still.
Yeah, no, I think it was bad from the
then
jump.
He said he's not coming off the bench. You know, Lonzo Ball's a starting point guard.
So this is either going to be a massive win for the Cavaliers with another title or certainly another run to the finals, or it's going to be, what it is, which is an attempt to save a season that has gone kind of sideways in their world. It will be interesting, too, because, again, we mentioned Kevin Love has yet to come back for Cleveland, and could Gordon Hayward, they keep teasing that he might still be back this year for the Boston Celtics, and if Gordon Hayward gets back, man, that Boston team.
Nice.
Man, that would be adding a piece to a team that's already the number one seed that could be really good. I mean, Kyrie and Al and all those guys, I mean, you mentioned the youngsters like Tatum who have elevated their game, and you would put Gordon Hayward, who is an underrated great player, into that mix, and Boston becomes formidable. The other big winner is the L.A. Lakers because of the fact that they've cleared so much cap space, they can make a serious run, maybe at a LeBron James, at a Paul George. You name the big-name free agent, they can go get them.
And if you can't get them this year, they're going to be a lot of good ones in 19.
Right.
It's the Lakers. They got Magic running the show. Magic's don't get somebody to come there because Magic knows that this is a superstar-driven league. As much as you want to put it on Lonzo and you want to put it on Ingram, Kuzma is that dude. I mean, Kuzma, he is going to be a really good player, but you got to get one of these superstars out there in free agency.
Yeah, I really like what Kuzma's been doing for that team. I mean, he is an interesting guy. I mean, suddenly you develop players like that. Hawks didn't do much of anything. They had two minor trades. Luke Babbitt dealt to Miami for Okoro White, and then you picked up Sheldon Mack for a moment and then designated him for assignment. So, there's not much going on with the Atlanta Hawks. I don't know. Were you disappointed that the Hawks didn't make a bigger move?
No, because I think the Hawks are doing what they need to do. They don't need any moves. You remember last year when the Lakers traded away to Lewitt? They don't need – we're trying to get in this lottery. Because I watched that Duke game last night. Marvin Bagley, I think it was Deshaun Tate was on with Dukes and Bellier today. He does remind me of Chris Bosh. I mean, this kid can ball. And, I mean, you get you a big skill guy like that, you pair him up with Collins, you got some building blocks. I like Bagley.
Yeah, there's three or four guys that interest me. And of course, I can't know about the European kid, Doncic, who everybody says.
They love him.
I mean, Luka Doncic, who is supposedly – a superstar waiting to happen.
Yeah. Always worry about those.
The European players because you just don't know them because you don't see them, not on TV like we do. Ayton out in Arizona is really
good player.
I mean, Mo Bamba at Texas is a rim protector. Is like Jackson at Michigan State. They're both great rim protectors. It'd be great to get them, but I don't know that they're number one build-around guys. Bagley's a build-around kind of guy, but I can't get past –
You like this Trae
Young. I love Trae Young, don't you? I do. Well, I think Trae Young is – maybe he's a poor man's Curry, but he is really just a difference maker.
I mean, a lot of people like him. I mean, a lot of people are liking him because of the shooting ability and where the game is going down the NBA.
I mean, he's out there 35, 36 feet. He's ba-bam, 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 ba-bam. And think about Curry at Davidson. When he came out, you know, he had that kind of Trae Young in him, but nobody expected him to turn into Steph Curry.
No.
And it took him 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, with the injuries and everything. Right, everything but I'm a big – I like this Bagley kid, man. I mean, he is skilled. He hustles. And he does. I mean, that left
if
hand.
If you could put some weight – and if you get John Collins into the weight room,
right.
You put 25 pounds of muscle on him and you can make him a five and free Bagley up and do a double low post with Prince on the wing.
I like it.
Okay.
I mean,
you got something going there.
You got something cooking. But Trae, I mean, Young, the way he shoots the basketball, it's special. Now, if you get him, do you have to move Dennis? Because Bagley, I mean, you know, he's a point guard.
Well, I'm not opposed to moving Dennis, but that's just me. I mean, am I sold on Dennis? I like Dennis. Am I sold on Dennis Schroeder being the guy that could carry you to an NBA title? What's your goal here? I mean, what is your goal?
It should be title, right?
Well, okay.
I mean, you're not trying. I mean, you know, you got to fill up this new arena that they're putting together and all that. So you got to get somebody to put butts
Dennis
in them seats.
Is Dennis Schroeder the guy to do that? I mean, he's still a young guy. But I got to start seeing. And I see. Look, is good Dennis Schroeder? Yes. Good Dennis Schroeder is. But you got to. The difference between those great ones and Dennis is you got to be good Dennis Schroeder every single night, like tonight against LeBron. Coverage begins. Pregame show at 7. Tip at 7:30 on Sports Radio 99 The Game. It is the morning show from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Friday. Again, if you're slogging down 75 or slogging up 85 and you're stuck in it, stay right here. I know. Just be patient. Still pretty outside. Not raining yet. Supposed to be a flood this weekend, though. If you're headed up to Nashville over the weekend, if you're going to go to the game tomorrow afternoon in Nashville, Five Stripe fans, we want you, if you are going to Nashville, we want you to hear us, because Tailgate Brewery Music Row, Tailgate Brewery Music Row. All right, down there in the district. 1-6, 92.9 The Game's Atlanta United welcome party. Dukes and Bell going to be broadcasting live today from 1-6 Central Time at Tailgate Brewery Music Row. Atlanta United players Michael Parkhurst, Brad Guzan going to be making appearances. They're going to be prize giveaways. There's going to be a Greg Garza signed ball, a Dito Vijalba signed magnet, all sorts of stuff. All right, so if you're going to Nashville today, Dukes and Bell, 1-6 Central Time in Nashville, at Tailgate Brewery Music Row, as they broadcast live from Nashville ahead of the Atlanta United's first preseason game of the year. Tomorrow afternoon at 4, as Grant was talking about, with Mike Conte on the call on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant hanging around here because not only do we have United going on, we also have baseball because pitchers and catchers are set to report next week.
Ever so shortly, Tuesday is the day. And they'll head down to Disney with the Braves. And, of course, they're going to be there this year and next year. Then the new spring training home will open after that. But 2 weeks from today, would you believe it, spring training games will be starting.
Well, here we go, pitchers and catchers, and then baseball's going to break out. And it's going to be really interesting, Randy McMichael with John Fricke this morning because he is still in Philadelphia. Going to be really interesting. There's a gigantic story that is developing in baseball. You have over 100 free agents that are still unsigned. So many, Grant, that the Major League Baseball Players Association now says that it's going to rent a facility in Florida, mm-hmm. invite these players to come down and hold their own spring training with inter-squad games and everything else just so they stay fresh until somebody signs them. All right, so they're unsigned. We're talking about players like J.D. Martinez and Greg Holland. I mean, star players, star pitchers, star position guys, Mike Moustakas. I mean, the list goes on. You could fill the darn good team with these players. Why are these players unsigned?
I don't know that there's one easy answer for this. Just from following this story, because it's been a really slow winter, and it seemed like I went down to the winter meetings, obviously, and there was not a lot going on. The Stanton trade happened right before. Other deals that have happened have mostly been trades over the winter. And you've got a veritable all-star team, as you pointed out, that's sitting out there. A couple names you didn't mention, Jake Arrieta.
Jake Arrieta.
Yu Darvish. J.D. Martinez, though, is the most fascinating one, and I think he's kind of the lightning rod for this whole thing because apparently, and this is the age-old fight, and Randy, you've known this from playing in the NFL, between the millionaires mm-hmm. and the billionaires that own the teams. And it's fascinating to see that generally the loser in this ends up being, in large part, either the players in terms of how they're going to get treated by the fans or, in fact, the fans for having to see all this paraded out in front of them and think about, the average person, the common man. We're not worrying about what multi-million-dollar deal we're going to sign. So I feel like everybody loses in this scenario. Plus, if you start talking about work stoppages and what actually happens, mm-hmm. everybody's really going to lose in that scenario. So I'm not really sure what the tipping point is here. But a few things that are of note in this particular scenario this winter is that the analytics-driven front offices are changing the way that they invest in players. Now, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden now players should take less because they don't meet a certain analytic criteria in all cases. They're going to have to find whatever it is, the happy medium between what these guys should be compensated and what owners, should be responsible for. Because fans, at the end of the day, buy tickets to see their teams play, which means they buy tickets to see the players play. They don't buy tickets to see owners. The owners are essentially in it because they're running a business. So you know, it's a lot of trade-offs, a lot of minutiae, a lot of business talk, and a lot of stuff that I'm sure everybody would love to not be talking about right before spring training, but I've never seen a winter that's played out quite like this, and that's why you see agents and hear players very upset about it, and that's why you hear some people floating words like collusion, like strike. And those are things that would send baseball down a path I do not think they want to go down.
Well, Grant, usually in the profession that I was in, they were usually, you know, these players you're talking about, these big-name players, they're talking about the larger salaries.
Right.
Is it more or less they're trying to get these young guys on, these young guys up, that they don't have to pay them as much as the Arrieta and guys like that?
There's a weird dichotomy in the way that baseball contracts work, and really all of sports, because you have the cost-controlled years for players when they're much younger. Now, of course, for front offices, the onus is on them to invest in the right young players, hoping that they will become stars. At that point, when you start getting into unions and start getting into CBAs and start getting into how do we get ourselves into where we're compensated, of course, free agency is the way that that happens. Free agent deals typically end up, and most baseball players are pretty much in their peak around 27, 28 years old. That's about the time that you're going to hit free agency, so you're looking to get a big deal there. Now, once you get over 30, there's a case to be made about how much money do you want to invest in a particular player, because are you paying for what they're going to do, or are you paying for what they've done the 12 years or 10, 12 years before? A nice example of that is Albert Pujols. Still a good player, not a great player anymore. Obviously some flaws in his game. He is certainly not the perennial MVP candidate he was in St. Louis. Does that mean Albert Pujols should be out of a job? Well, no, of course it doesn't. But does it mean he should be making $30 million? Well, you know, an MVP candidate comes in like Mike Trout and is making league minimum, million, 2 million, 3 million before he signs an extension. That's the kind of cost control. That's where baseball is balancing the equation. That's where the CBA comes in. That's where the union comes in. That's where, you know, Major League Baseball as a whole comes in. And again, the whole thing, obviously complicated, but the CBA is going to run for 3 more years. So they've got to come up with some answers and figure some things out, because next year's free agent class is stacked full of all-star caliber players. And that's going to be when I think it's really fascinating to see if teams open up their wallets again and start spending.
Of course, Grant McCulley is our Braves and baseball expert, and he joins John and Randy Mack this morning talking about why we have over 100 free agents unsigned a few days away from pitchers and catchers reporting down to Florida and Arizona for the Grapefruit and Cactus Leagues here with all the and you said collusion. I don't think it's collusion. I think it's just somebody, you know, the dam has to break here. So let's say it's the Atlanta Braves. Braves still have a hole at third base. You have a couple of guys, and we mentioned one of them, Moustakas. Could they possibly make an offer to Mike Moustakas that would get him to sign and maybe break this logjam?
Number one, I don't think the Braves will be the team that, you know, sets the trend. I think you're going to have to start seeing, because a lot of younger players, or a lot of players that aren't necessarily that all-star caliber, are waiting for guys like J.D. Martinez, like Eric Hosmer, guys that, and Yu Darvish, that are reportedly sitting on $100-plus million offers but haven't got the one they want yet. I mean, there was a story about Martinez saying,
well, if that's the case, then who's at fault here?
Then who's at fault? Exactly.
Right. Again, I don't know what to tell you there other than, I mean, they're going to have to figure out where the line is in terms of what they want. And if they feel like they can get a better deal, it's certainly their right to sit around and not sign a contract. You don't have to. But then again, you can't necessarily come to, you know, the public and say, oh, you know, I'm not being taken care of properly. If somebody's offered you $125 million over 5 years to play, you know, right field, left field, or DH for the Red Sox in the case of J.D. Martinez, that's the kind of thing that's going on. Eric Hosmer's looking for a $140-plus million deal. If I'm running a baseball team, that's not a guy I want to spend $140 million on. So, of course, that's the owner's right to decide what players that they want to invest in. So, the Braves aren't going to be the team that breaks this logjam, and I really don't think Mike Moustakas is going to be a player that they're going to jump into. Even on a one-year deal, I mean, you lose a draft pick. I think it'd only be their third or fourth rounder based on the sanctions and things, and their first-round pick is protected, and some of the sanctions from the fallout of the big scandal a few months ago. But I just don't look at him as being a guy that's going to fit, and I think he's a guy that would like to sign a long-term contract, as many would. So if he does go on a short-term deal, I would think Kansas City might be a good landing place for him, but the Royals have to figure that out because they want Eric Hosmer back too, and obviously he wants a ton of money.
Well, it's always been that baseball, you know, the union and the owners, they have like the best relationship so far in sports usually. Are you looking, is this like pointing towards a lockout or strike right now?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously tempers are going to flare when sides aren't getting what they want. But I'll say this. I mean, it's been incredibly contentious. But if you look at what in the Bud Selig era and in the early portion of Rob Manfred's time, and obviously when you think about the union heads that the players have had, I mean, these are guys, Marvin Miller and Don Fear in particular, that they went to war for the players' union, and they typically won those wars in the end. I mean, obviously you make concessions and you have to figure out and hammer out these deals, but the players' union for about four decades has been the strongest union, I would say, not just in American sports, but maybe in all of America. They just don't lose that often. They typically get, by and large, what they want. And again, the owners and the sport, which netted about $10 billion last year, is going to have a hard time saying that we can't afford this. Because if you're paying for the entertainment value of watching any sport, you're paying to watch the players. And it's hard once you start to get into all these other offshoot arguments to make the average fan, or really even the most ensconced fan, the fan that loves their team the most, not have hard feelings about having to listen to all this and watch it play out publicly. It's just bad business.
Well, you get ready for the Braves. Here we go. I mean, and let's see if they make any moves here. By the way, I know we only have a minute left. Sure. Will the Braves make a move at third base?
They might. And the guy they keep an eye on, it was reported yesterday, is Eduardo Nunez. Uh-huh. I feel like he's a little bit older and more developed version of what Johan Camargo could become. But he's versatile. He can hit some. And even if he doesn't play every day, he'd make your bench better. That would be the kind of guy I would look at. Short-term deal, something to get them bridged into 2019. We'll see what they do. But, again, ton of free agents out there. And really, the jury's still out on where all these guys are going to go. But they're going to play in 2018.
Grant McCauley, of course.
Appreciate
you,
Grant.
Always,
thank you.
Part of his baseball coverage on our website and on our Twitter as well. As we continue, we're going to venture into the Wendy Zone next. Since Hugh is out, we'll take Hugh's World, send it over here, and bring the Wendy Zone up and front and center on this Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A sports talk veteran and a 10-year NFL veteran.
Yeah, that's right.
This is John and Hugh
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So we've been talking a lot this morning about the opening ceremonies. They are going on right now in Pyeongchang. They will air tonight. But we do have a Vision Computer poll if you go to our 92.9 The Game Twitter page and our Facebook page. What is your favorite Olympic event to watch? Is it hockey? Is it figure speed skating, skiing, or snowboarding, bobsled, and luge? Right now, 26% of people prefer bobsled and luge, followed by actually 40% skiing, snowboarding, 22% hockey, 12% figure and speed skating, but a lot of votes for curling.
I'm still kind of old school. Randy, I really like and dig the downhill. I think if I could do anything, it'd be downhill. The Lindsey Vonn and, you know, back in the day when Bodie Miller was winning men's downhill golds and whatnot, just a lot of fun to watch those guys take on the hill.
Yeah, but that's just too much speed for me to be going down a ramp with just some sticks stuck to my feet. I'm not feeling that.
Don't sleep on the biathlon, you guys, because it's cross country skiing with a rifle and they'll shoot at targets. It's pretty fun to watch. Just saying. I put that one in mine as well. But if you're watching the opening ceremonies, you will not believe how much their outfits are cost, because you can actually go and buy some of their attire. It's made by Ralph Lauren. Hmm. And just looking at the website alone, the cheapest thing on here is the ceremony mittens, which will run you $135. The next most inexpensive thing, I would have to say, is a beanie, which will run you $195, and that's the opening
for
ceremony.
A beanie?
For a Scully? Man, no.
That's correct.
This is the best part of the Olympics to me.
What's that?
Is the Ralph clothing.
Is the fashion.
I look forward to what Ralph is going to drop around this time of year.
Team USA did it right. No, Daryl's right.
Always. Ralph goes hard.
This outfit is phenomenal. And the gloves that they're wearing are sold out. The boots that they're wearing are sold out. The jeans will run you, for men's jeans, $295. The sweater they have on today will run you $595.
Wow. Wow.
But like I said,
you said five what?
600.
For a sweater?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Come on now.
I don't even want to begin to tell you, because I don't know the price of the gloves because they are sold out. I'm looking on Ralph Lauren's website right now.
Uh-huh.
But the boots are sold out, I guarantee.
What's
you.
What's the coat cost?
The coat is not for sale right now because the coat has three heat settings in it that'll last up to 11 hours.
What?
Yeah.
So you got to plug it in?
Yes. So when fully charged, it lasts up to 11 hours. The interior of the jacket has an American flag that's created from conductive carbon and silver ink.
Wow. Oh, yeah. So, how many thousands of dollars
that's
here?
That's probably... If a sweater's 600, that's going to be probably at least 10.
You can,
10 grand at least. Grand.
Hey, you can get the sports cap, which will run you only $85. They have a Team USA cotton t-shirt for $98. So, I mean, you can get some stuff, but a lot of the stuff is selling out. So Whether we think that's expensive or not, people want it. But if you see the gloves.
How about a keychain?
Cut it out,
there's,
John.
There's no keychains.
Bumper sticker, something.
Koozie.
There's a tote for $275.
You can get koozies for
a Ralph koozie.
Why not?
They don't have one in the Team USA, but if you want a if you want a closing ceremony, Scully, it's $195. But the gloves are what
Wait,
I really
you stuck there's with one for the opening thing. Ceremony no. and the closing ceremony. They're separate. The
yes,
Scullies?
Separate Scullies, and there's a separate outfit for the closing ceremony.
Oh, for crying out loud!
That's I mean it's cool though, man. I'm with you there. I'll look and see what that what the outfit yeah. is, but.
Why don't you go ahead and Google the opening ceremony glove? If you've seen, what was it? Because I saw Bo tweet this out earlier because one of our friends who works at CNN, Coy Wire, is over there covering the Olympics, and he had a picture of himself wearing these gloves. They look like the gloves that Lloyd was wearing in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, in the hotel when he had the cowboy hat on.
Yes.
They're that brown color, and they got the little tassels, and they're just all oversized.
But they have the American flag on it and the Olympic rings. They look super warm, and I actually want a pair. I want a pair of those, and I want the boots. But unfortunately, those are sold out. And also, unfortunately, my budget could probably never afford such things.
Yeah, no.
That's right.
I'm just thinking about this coat that you got to plug in.
I think it's awesome. I wish it was for sale because I really want to know how much it is. Well, yesterday we were talking a lot about the championship parade and the Eagles. Well, one fan went to the extreme to make it to the championship parade in Philly. Mike Golic, a former Eagles player, was on the broadcast, and this is what one fan did in order to go to the parade.
We talked to him this morning. You want to talk about how passionate they are? One of his buddies, to get out of work today, broke his own fingers so he could get a doctor's note to miss work.
No, he didn't.
To be a, yes, he did. He broke his own fingers to get the doctor's note so he could go to the parade and not have to go to work today. Now, does that sound like a Philly fan or what?
Mike Golic wasn't the only person to mention this fan. There was a couple of tweets where this guy was telling his story of how he broke three of his fingers in order to get that doctor's excuse to miss work and go be part of the 2 million watching the parade.
I know this guy. This is the same guy that there's video of. There's video of this guy. Uh-huh. He's right after the game, he was eating horse crap on the side of the street.
Sounds about like, yeah. That ain't no fan. That's just dumb. That's just real.
Yeah,
I mean,
that is just stupid. He's waking up this morning.
I'm sure.
And he's got three broken
fingers.
I'm
sure
do what you
got
to do, man.
I'm sure that your employer would have let you off to go to the parade.
Clearly, they were not.
Job you have,
man. That's just
how about quit your job.
I don't understand why he broke three fingers.
You can't
and why
get
not
break
just
one.
Like one finger. Like
one wouldn't have been enough.
Do it like one finger where like on your writing hand.
See
like
now
you
know this
like,
is karma
because
you know what'll happen is he breaks his three fingers and the story gets out there and he goes into work today and he says you broke your three fingers.
There
you
it is.
You're fired.
There it is. Right there.
That's
so,
what the problem
you know.
Comes
I mean,
in.
You know what? Now you got three broken fingers and you don't have a job either.
But what if they get the wrong guy? What if two people in Philadelphia have three broken fingers today and the wrong guy gets fired?
Right.
Yeah.
Really, Bo? There's not going to be more than one person.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's Philly.
It's Philly. Yeah.
There were some people getting into fights yesterday.
There were people fighting?
Yes.
Like, we're celebrating. What is there to fight about?
I don't know.
We've been
know.
Waiting all this time for this team to win a Super Bowl, and we're fighting it?
There was one woman who acrobatically climbed one of these street lamps and sat on top of it, but she was graceful doing it. It looks like she was able to climb pretty good. Well, welcome to Philly.
Basically.
Very interesting Friday rolling around into our final hour. We'll do a pick six in the next hour. Focus in a little bit on the Winter Olympics. Sky is around the corner to tell you what's going on in town and what could be a rainy weekend ahead. Much more NBA trades to talk about, and LeBron's in town. Final hour of a Friday coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.